how badly I did it. It could be the last time, of course. But I've been a volunteer with Rope now for a little while, a couple of years, and just offer a few hours a week. And over that time, as I've become more and more familiar with what they do, and as I've interacted with people like Lauren, who are, you know, who actually run the organisation, I've been humbled and inspired by them. And it's a great privilege to be able to speak on their behalf. My main focus in what I say isn't going to be on Rope. I'm not here to try and convince you to give money to Rope, though that can't be a bad thing, or to help them in some way. My main focus this morning is on the kingdom of God and what Jesus had to say about that, which you'll hear presently. But before I get into that, can we just pray, please? I want to speak on a Bible passage which is probably fairly familiar to you. It's the first part of the so-called Sermon on the Mount, also called, as Lauren said, the Beatitudes. And we're going to read from Matthew's Gospel. If you've got a church Bible, could you open up to Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 10? I think that's page 683. So you might like just to turn there. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus has attracted a crowd. In the previous chapter, in verses 23 and 24, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Jesus has been proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and he's been doing the good news of the kingdom. And so as we get to our reading, Jesus has this crowd before him, and his disciples join him. And I imagine a sense of anticipation as he addresses them all with this series of blessed are sayings. Notice in verses 3 and 10, which bracket the blessing sayings, he refers to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that was spoken of and experienced at the end of chapter 4, and that is the context, I think, for the Beatitudes. Each Beatitude pronounces a kingdom blessing. What is a blessing? The definition of a blessing that I like most is, a blessing is the projection of good into the life of another. Do you like that? Blessing is the projection of good into the life of another. The crowd that's been following Jesus was made up of people in pain and hurting, people afflicted with demons, people degraded by others, people with deep needs looking for answers, people for whom conventional religion hadn't helped and couldn't help. They were there with some kind of expectation, and he pronounced kingdom blessings over them all. How do we understand what Jesus said and meant? Some say the Beatitudes are kind of spiritual qualities that God admires, or that this is some kind of code of kingdom ethics. But I don't think that can be right. Let's look at that list. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the spiritually bankrupt. Really? Blessed are those that mourn, those who are torn apart by grief and loss, those who experience the pain of desertion, or like this lady, loss of property. Blessed are the meek, the shy and intimidated, the put upon. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those that feel emptiness in their souls, aware of their sinful, hopeless lives. Blessed are the merciful, those who are soft touch and exploited. Blessed are the pure in heart, those perhaps who are self-conscious perfectionists who have to mask their failures. Blessed are the peacemakers, those regarded with suspicion by both sides. Blessed are the persecuted, those whose lives have been ruined because they haven't complied with what they know is wrong. Maybe a few of those could be construed as admirable qualities, but it makes more sense to me to assume that Jesus isn't referring to ethical standards. It just doesn't fit with that pattern. Surely he isn't talking about some kind of heavenly reward. You will receive blessing because you deserve it. The Bible is quite clear. We cannot earn God's favor. It comes free and undeserved. And so it seems to me that what Jesus is doing is speaking to a crowd of broken, needy, compromised, ordinary people who struggle to believe that God is on their side and telling them, I have good news for you. Really, really, really good news. The kingdom of heaven is here for you, he's saying. I've come so you can be blessed. I've been sent by my heavenly Father to project his goodness into your lives. And it's free, completely free. And perhaps we could imagine that something like this is happening. With the crowd before him, Jesus declares, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the spiritually bankrupt. Blessed are the spiritual zeros, those who know only too well they have no standing whatsoever before a holy and righteous God. And there would have been people there listening to him on hearing those words, would have drawn breath and said, that's me, that's me. He's talking about me. I'm desperate. I've always felt excluded because of my past. And he's telling me something no one has ever told me before. The kingdom of heaven and its blessings are for me. That's astonishingly good news for that section of the crowd. God's blessing, his grace, his goodness, his mercy has been promised to them. And it's good news for us. For anyone here who feels, who knows themselves to be in spiritual poverty, the kingdom is still freely available. His grace continues to flow. Perhaps one more imagining. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Yet another section of the crowd will have heard themselves to be addressed personally, and it's they who draw breath this time. Those who long to be better than they are. Those who know only too well the gap between their worldliness and the holiness of God. They might try hard to please God, to gain his approval, but they only know failure and are disappointed with themselves. It seems the harder they try, the more they fail. And unlike the Pharisees, they are too honest with themselves to be self-righteous. And what do they hear? They will be filled. Another astonishing promise, that their deep hunger and thirst will be satisfied. There's no more need to try and earn God's approval. It's theirs in Jesus already. In the kingdom of heaven, not only will they be forgiven, they'll be transformed in ways they have yet to discover. God's power to change hearts is available in the kingdom. Why was Jesus' message so attractive? Why are the Beatitudes such good news? For the crowd, all their lives, they have been fed the religious mindset. Because of who you are, because of what you've done or failed to do, because of what's been done to you, you stand judged and are excluded from God's blessing. And Jesus comes along and preaches a very different message. He doesn't say you're blessed because of your situation. He says you can be blessed despite your situation. God is for us. We can be blessed. We can enter into the kingdom, into the dynamic rule of God, because we have a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of unsurpassing love. Jesus is the grace of God in action, in word and in deed. He releases the kingdom wherever he goes, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Not because of what we do, because what he has done for us on the cross. Jesus gives hope to the hopeless, peace to the disturbed, healing to the afflicted, wholeness to the broken, forgiveness to the penitent. Jesus came to announce and to deliver the blessing of heaven. He came to project good into the lives of all people. The kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God, as said elsewhere in the Gospels, is the dynamic breaking in of God's empowering presence and is available wherever God has the deciding voice. That is, when we have said yes to him, when we have surrendered our will to his. Why do we pray week in, week out, your kingdom come, your will be done? Because we want God to break into our world, to redeem it. It's our calling and should be our passion to partner with the Lord in his redeeming work. I love rope. Why do I feel it a privilege to play a small part in it? Because it's a kingdom organization. It aspires to grow more and more into that as well. It seeks to work according to kingdom principles and towards kingdom goals. Rope aims not just to offer relief to people in need, though that is vital, of course it is. It aims to see the kingdom of heaven released into the lives of those it supports. And more than that, to see the kingdom influence spread beyond those who are helped into the local communities so it affects the culture surrounding them, so that the power of God's goodness and grace can be more widely known. If we are to be kingdom people, it makes sense to me to support and to partner with kingdom organizations like Rope. Now, with any passage of scripture, for any sermon, there's an underlying pair of questions for us to consider each time, I think, which is, where's the comfort and where's the challenge? What comfort can we draw and what challenge is laid before us? Where does the rubber hit the road with this talk of the kingdom? If there's anyone here who in some way feels on the outside, if there's anyone here who feels in any way like one of that crowd, that you've identified yourself with some of those words that Jesus spoke and you've drawn breath to and said, that's me. I want into that. If you have a sense of need or desperation for the grace Jesus offers, if you've been longing for the good news of the kingdom, or you know you need more of the kingdom, and although you desire it, you know you don't deserve it, then know this, you are positioned for blessing. You are positioned to receive. If any of those blesseds that Jesus spoke resonate in you, then trust in his words. Trust him and the grace he offers. Trust in his promise of the good he wants to project into your life. Trust in his words. Come under the rule and reign of God in his kingdom. And if you are one of those, I don't know how many were here, there may be one or two, or there might be many, I don't know. We'll pray together in a moment. There's tremendous comfort in these words of Jesus, in these Beatitudes. And there's profound encouragement to be taken. But there's also, I think, a challenge. And this may be something you want to reflect on, to think and pray through, both personally and maybe as a church. Maybe through your small groups? Do you have small groups? through your small groups then. The question is, to what extent are you a kingdom-oriented person? Or is this a church which is a kingdom-oriented organization? That's something to you might like to consider. The heart of Jesus in what he taught and how he acted was to extend blessing and grace to everyone, the undeserving and the unworthy, to the least and to the last. Now, is that desire which was his ours? Is that your desire? Is it my desire? I can only answer the questions for myself. And if I'm honest, I need to be asking for an extra filling of the Holy Spirit, because I know I fall well short of that. I need to ask the help of the Holy Spirit not to grieve through what I do or quench through what I fail to do. I need his help. We all need to hear what Jesus taught. First, to rejoice in the assurance that the blessedness of the kingdom is available even to us. And second, by drawing his disciples, his apprentices, to himself, he was teaching them to be like him. We are called to be Christ-like. It's the goal of discipleship. We are called to be those who both receive and give away kingdom life, to live increasingly in the reality, in its reality, and sharing its truth and power. Why did God call you? Why does he call anyone? He calls us to gather with other people. Why? There's several answers to these questions. But if we are to be kingdom people, belonging to a kingdom organization, then we are to seek, we are to cry out for God's blessing. There is nothing wrong in asking God to bless us. He is generous and kind. Jesus offered life in abundance, and we have to ask for that. There's nothing wrong in asking. In fact, I'd say it's a spiritual duty to ask God for blessing, provided we are determined to be rivers of blessing and not reservoirs. Provided we don't cling on to what we receive from him, but give as much as we receive. Would you listen to one or two verses from Psalm 67, which set this out? Verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us. It's okay for the psalmist to ask for blessing. It's okay for us. But notice how he continues, verse 2, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Being a blessed people is a powerful witness, demonstrating what living in God's presence is like, inviting all to the good news of the kingdom. There's salvation, verse 2. There's justice, verse 4. There's abundance, verse 6. His goodness projected to those who believe, projected to all, including those who might least deserve or expect it. We gather to worship our good and gracious God. We rejoice in his mercy and loving kindness, in the salvation wrought through the cross of Jesus. As we worship and honor his presence, we receive from him, we are strengthened, we are renewed, and we are released to live as those who now blessed, sharing generously in what we say, do, and give. So would you pray with me?